if you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Guys, welcome to the show today. Sorry, we're dealing with a little bit of technical difficulties. Normally, we're in the actual real live broadcast studio out in Pahrump, Nevada, going off the ISDN line. We got the whole mixer boards. But since I'm on vacation in California, we're just on laptops and Skype. So a little bit of technical difficulties. Welcome to the show, everybody. I got my guest host, Ed Winchester, here. Ed, are you connected just yet to the studio? All right, we'll have him online in just a minute. Today we're going to pick up a little bit on one of the emails that came in talking about the Ronin AR-50. And they're like, look, I went onto your website on 2aradio.com. I'm looking around. What is this Ronin tab? So I've had actually a couple of emails in the last few weeks about that. The Ronin tab on there is talking about what I put together as the Ronin AR-15. There is a Ronin tactical training group. There is a Ronin... Ronin Firearms, I think, is the company that do modification to different type of guns. Ronin is just kind of a status name that I threw on to talk about the AR-15 when you do certain upgrades. Because the AR-15 can be inherently unreliable when it comes to some of the way that the whole system is designed. You have a gas system that actually runs the bolt back and runs the entire action. A lot of people upgrade to the piston drive, and it's rather interesting because the gun that is really considered the workhorse of the sport utility rifles is the AK-47. They say it runs dirty. In fact, it does because of the tolerances, but also it's got a piston-driven system as opposed to just an air-driven system. So with the air-driven system in an AR-15, you can get a lot of the carbon that blows back into the system. It gets dirty and mucked up. You get too much oil or too much moisture in there. It can really start to play havoc on things. If it runs too dry, it can play havoc. So the Ronin system actually replaces a few of the parts to help better that. One of the things that I have purposely not put into what I would refer to as Ronin status with the AR-15 is changing to a piston drive, because that changes the actual functionality of the gun just a bit. So when we're talking about going with the Ronin system, there are certain parts that actually make it a little bit more reliable. So we're going to go through some of those things and why. Also, later in the show, after segment two, Kelly Bouchon of Top Shot's going to call in. We're going to just have a discussion, he and I, and then a few of the other Top Shot guys are going to be calling in as well. Just give a little bit of perspective of the show and how things were when we were there, and just some of the inside things that you just don't see on the show itself. So we're headed into break. It looks like we're in a little bit of trouble with the outro music. We got about 12 seconds left here. So stay tuned. We're going to talk a little bit more specifically about the Ronin AR-15, and then we're going to do the show, the calls with the other Top Shot guys when we come back. Stay tuned. This is Bill Carnes, special guest Ed Winchester from our beachfront studio right here on 2A Radio. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443. Hi, guys. Welcome back. Welcome back. Ed, are you with us?
I am. Good morning, sir.
All right. Good to have you, man. I tell you, we're sitting up here in the beachfront studio looking out over the big, vast, blue Pacific Ocean. And what do we got, about 2-3 foot waves out here?
Yeah, it's a great day. I'm surprised there are not more surfers out yet.
It's a little calmer than it was yesterday. The tide seems to be rolling back in just a little bit, man. It's beautiful. It's overcast. It's a little after 7 o'clock in the morning here. We're so close, in fact, to Mexico. What are we? Is the crow flies, what, 3.5 miles or so, maybe?
Probably not even that far. Probably closer to 2.5.
So we're looking out here. We can actually see some of the islands out there off of the coast, maybe. I guess that guy's probably about 20, 25 miles out, and part of the Mexican territory. Actually, the room that we're in, my girlfriend and I are in, if you prop open the door a little bit to let some cool air come in at night, you can just see out there and actually see the hills of Tijuana.
Yep.
And anyhow, it's really pretty neat. The kids are downstairs still sleeping, so it's a nice, peaceful morning that is actually mimosa free today, because the last couple of days we've woke up and had mimosas and we got virtually nothing accomplished the rest of the day, as it would seem. Ed, let's talk a little bit about the Ronin AR-15. You've owned several ARs in your life.
Absolutely, yeah. One of them lives with you because it's not legal in my home state of California.
That's right. And I occasionally will take that thing out and look at it and think about all of your ammo that should have accompanied your rifle.
Yeah.
That I could start with. So, guys, what I've done is all of the following modifications to an AR-15 I have done. And I don't know what it is about the entire combination of everything. Everything just seems to work. So we're going to talk about this. The first thing I want to talk about is the right type of magazine to use. Now, lots of different magazines have come out over the years. Recently, in the last 2-3 years, the new Magpul magazines have caught on huge, and people love those things. A little more expensive, but they do work wonderfully. Also, we have the magazines that H&K came out, the Heckler & Koch magazines. Heavy duty, they'll actually hold a real live 30 rounds, or a little bit longer. They have an excellent follow in there. So really, if you want to just go with a rather inexpensive magazine that works incredibly well, you can go with something from Brownells. They actually have these magazines together. I used to build these things years ago, and then Brownell started putting them together with all these same internal parts, and you can just buy them direct now. They are just an aluminum body, hard anodized with a dry lube coating, and the dry lube coated chrome silicone spring, as well as a Teflon reinforced plastic follower. I highly recommend the Magpul ones. They're better than just the green follower, because the green follower itself can tilt, even though it's a bit of an anti-tilt, as they call it. These magazines, straight up out of Brownells, if I remember correctly, are right at $19.95. And if you have the discount, the industry discount with Brownells, they're $13.50. And you can't go wrong for a magazine like that that just will run and run and run. Now, if you want to spend more money and go with something like the H&K mags or with the brand new Magpuls, that's absolutely fine. This is a reliable magazine. Will the feed lips eventually split if you use them a lot? Well, yeah, but then you go back and get yourself another magazine that's either $19.95 or $13.50. The other thing is the AR-15 charging handle. I like the one from Precision Reflex. It's called the Gas Buster charging handle with a flat latch. I like the style with the flat latch on there, so it's not it's not so big and chunky. As well, you want to, if you go with these latches on the charging handles, realize your upper receiver is made of aluminum, as is your lower. If you have a latch that's made of steel and you allow that steel latch to just bang around where it hooks and actually sets into the upper on the AR-15, you can and probably will eventually gall that. So you want to be very careful with that. Years ago at the school I used to work at, we had some of these steel latches on the M16s. And when the charging handle started getting loose, they would come back and start hitting the shooter in the nose with every single round on full auto. Now, Ed, I think you experienced that one time, didn't you?
It's quite the... it really gets your attention, that's for sure.
Those charging handles with the latch attached are $109 if you have the industry discount to $82, $83, I guess. You can also just replace the latch itself on your own charging handle. That's $24 if you have the industry discount there. It's a little over $19. The other thing is the Defender D-Ring by MGI. Now, what the D-Ring is when you take the extractor out of the bolt, you can put the D-ring in there, which changes the angle of the extractor a little bit and gives it about 3 times of the pressure of extraction. So if you have a casing that would otherwise swell in the chamber, and you might have to get a dowel down there and tap that thing out of the gun, it goes from a malfunction to an honest-to-God jam because now you need tools and time to fix it. This D-ring would help prevent many of those from happening. It will not prevent a casing that's so stuck it starts to rip the head off of the casing itself. So, but it'll prevent rounds that would otherwise slip off of the extractor. So the D-ring is a good idea. Also, a lot of people, when they use the AR-15, they end up getting their middle finger on their shooting hand a little bit galled up because of the style of grip that's on there. So I like the pistol grip made by Ergo Grip from Falcon Industries. That works out really well. That's like $27, industry discount, $20. This is an option. That is the Ambi Selector. DPMS seems to make the best Ambi Selector. It is a little bit more kind of petite in size. It's a little bit more shallow. It doesn't really interfere so much if you're a right-handed shooter, the Ambi side coming down and hitting your trigger finger. However, it does work really well. So the DPMS Ambi Selector switch seems to work out really good. And then here's really kind of the internals that work out very well. It's the AR-15 bolt and bolt carrier combo. Now, DPMS makes an excellent bolt carrier and bolt carrier combo. What we end up having is two different styles. Both of them are resistant to the carbon that comes back and builds up inside the action. And Ed, you know that carbon's a real...
It's such a pain to get cleaned out, man. Well, it is. I wouldn't know. You're usually the one that gives me my rifle back dirty, but that's okay.
I don't shoot your rifle much. The carbon, guys, what carbon is it's, if you build a campfire and you throw wood and paper or whatever in there, you're going to have charcoal. At the end of the night, you end up having a pile of ash. What carbon is, it is the ash left over from the burned gunpowder. And that will blow back through the gas blowback system of an AR-15 to get into the action. So if you have an action like this one out of DPMS, they have one made out of hard chrome. And the one that's made out of hard chrome, it's excellent. That's the one that I use. It's 205, 206, 210, something like that, I think, right now out of Brownells. The industry discount about 165. Or you can get the one that is coated in tin, T-I-N. And that is a titanium... What is it? Nitrate something? You're a metal guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever the heck it is. You deal in steel. But yeah. That's a little more expensive. That's around $245. Industry price about $196. Also is a gas ring replacement. You got those three little gas rings that go around the back of the bolt. You have three of them so that when they don't have the propensity to line up so gas escapes and your gun doesn't run. Fulton Armory makes one that is a lot more like a keychain. You know, you pop open one end and you actually thread the key on there, so you never have the opportunity to experience if those three little gas rings happen to line up. And those are like $4, so those are good. As well as the extra power hammer spring that Wolf makes, and that's really good for when you're using ammo with hard primers. It's funny that Wolf Springs make that because some of the Wolf ammo, actually, different Wolf,
yes,
will have the hard primers. And those extra power hammer springs are about $14 and $9, respectively. So just so you know, those extra power hammer springs will work really well with an AR-15 if you have hard primers. Also, I'm a fan of the Ambi single point sling. You get the connector for that. You have to have the proper connector. And Cross Tac Corporation sells those through Brownells. Those are about $30, $20 if you have the industry discount. The AR-15 Ambi release by Norgan. That's another good option to have on there, again, for if you're a left-handed shooter or if you're just going to transition and shoot left-handed. It's obviously good if you're going to be shooting around a corner if you have the ability to transition, not just you as the shooter, but if your equipment is set up as well. Also for that little piece on your middle finger that gets chewed up every time you shoot from underneath the trigger guard, you end up getting that just ripped open a little bit. So you can get this little thing called the Gapper by Falcon Industries, and that's like $3, $3.50. And that just pops right into that little hole behind the back of the trigger guard. I don't know why I couldn't think of trigger guard. Single point tag sling by Blackhawk Industries ends up being a good single point sling. It's transitionable from, you know, if you're a right-handed shooter or a left-handed shooter. And then the high-vis tritium front sights from XS Sight System is another good positive thing to throw on there. So that really covers it. If you go to 2aradio.com, click on the Ronin tab, you'll actually see all of the different pieces, parts, and everything in there. So you can check that out on your own. Guys, stay tuned. We have Kelly Bichand on the line from Top Shot. He's going to be live coming up in the next segment. So stay tuned. We're going to be getting to that. You can hear a little bit about the inside of Top Shot and being there when we return. This is Bill Carnes with special guests Ed Winchester and Kelly Bichand calling in right here on 2A Radio.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us right now. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
All right, guys, welcome back. Welcome back. I believe on the line right now we have Kelly Bichand of Top Shot. Kelly, you on the line?
I am, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing good, my man. How are things?
You know, things are really going pretty good. Things are going good.
Hey, how was your scouting trip? You told me the other day you were going on a scouting trip looking for areas to hunt with your dad this fall. How'd that go, man?
Oh, it went pretty well, actually. Saw a couple good deer. Still had fuzz on the antlers at this time of year, but found some good ground, some good game trails. Had a lot of fun.
Sweet. How long were you up there?
Oh, gosh, we were only gone for like 36 hours. My dad only took a day off from work, and I just randomly had a couple days off in the middle of the week, so it seemed like a good spur-of-the-moment decision.
Sounds like you guys got plenty done in that amount of time, dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hey, Kelly, I want to thank you for calling in. I mean, obviously, we had three episodes of Top Shot air so far, and of course, episode three seemed to be the longbow, which took a distant backseat. I mean, if we could have a car of choice when it comes to backseat, of because obviously our interaction took the front seat. I think the longbow in the whole William Tell challenge ended up taking the back seat in the back of a huge school bus back seat. It just seemed like the drama seemed to really be the focus of episode three. Man, did you see it as the same way?
Yeah, you know, they didn't even show every archer fire all their arrows. It was like they abbreviated the shooting portion so that they could emphasize the drama portion. I was very surprised.
Yeah, yeah, I thought that was kind of crazy, too. I'm sitting there with my kids watching this, and show the first couple of guys do the whole thing. They show you, and they get everything up there, and then they just blaze through everybody until they get to JJ and then me. And that was, it's like, wow. You know, if you read the comments that people have online since the first episode, people are saying, I'd like to see a lot more of the shooting and a lot less of the drama. Well, evidently, with episode three, that certainly didn't, they weren't listening.
Yeah.
I don't know how it goes with comments with you, but, you know, I've got many comments over the three different episodes that have showed. And people are saying, you know, we'd like to see a little bit more shooting and a lot less of the drama. And then they also will go on there and say, hey, it's looking cool what's going to be going on with that pistol thing next week. Are you practicing and tuning up?
Yeah, and I get a lot of that too. I recently even got tips on the AR-15.
I know
if you saw
that
on the commercial. It shows that I struggle with the AR-15, and so I had a couple people send me some tips. So hopefully, I can employ those retroactively.
That's true. Because Now, a lot of people don't seem to realize that it's not a live reality show. We're not filming this week for next week sort of thing. It's this whole thing was cast. We did final casting in first part of February, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was right around Valentine's Day.
I'm sorry, that was Ed chiming in too. He was actually where, and then we filmed. I think it was March 15th. They were in production for what, 30 days?
Yeah, around there.
So, I mean, we were done with this long ago. And, of course, episode 3 really featured everything between you and I, starting with a discussion that happened in the van. And just to give everybody kind of a perspective, the crew, the producers that were there on the crew said, look, here's the deal. You guys, we're going to move you from point A to point B in these vans. They're all blacked out. You guys are not going to be able to see out. We're not going to be able to see in. None of the conversation about the show, what happens outside of the van, can happen inside the van. And conversely, you can't have any discussions in the van that filter out of the van because people aren't going to know what's going on. Right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, how many times were we reminded of this, right?
Quite often. And I think it was typically the fact that the conversations in the van were crude to the nature that they would not be able to be aired on the show in the first place. That was sort of we got all that out of our systems when we were in transit.
Yeah, exactly, because if that started to get out of hand when we were in the house, they'd come and say, look, guys, we can't air any of this, so can you save that for the van sort of thing?
Yeah.
I can't actually imagine Bill saying something crude.
Absolutely
right.
Not, Ed, and I appreciate that, man. So, and they did get a little out of hand in the van sometimes here and there, but anyhow, there ended up being a discussion in the van about what lame people should end up doing about offing themselves, I think was the way it was. And fresh in my family's history, which was just about 3 weeks prior to this, we had a tragedy with the fiance of my ex-wife, who's a wonderful, wonderful woman, mother of my three daughters, who are actually all here this week. And I was like, look, guys, can we cool it a little bit because this happened? And Kelly said something that at the moment, at the time, with everything else that had gone on, really ticked me off. And with the apology that came later, I wasn't really interested in hearing it. I was actually more wanting to be focused on the task at hand. But I'm going to read to you just before we go into it. Actually, no, we don't have time before we go into break. We'll have to read it when we come back.
I can paraphrase it for you, Bill.
Please.
I can paraphrase it and give you the whole idea behind it.
Go ahead. We got about 30 seconds.
Okay. So I just didn't want to make any enemies when I'm on Top Shot. I'm there with 15 of the other most experienced shooters in the States, people that I really should have camaraderie with. And I didn't want to make any enemies. So as Bill was leaving, I made sure I let him know that.
And guys, it worked out really well. And we'll go through a little bit of specifics. I think a couple of the other guys from the show are going to call in as well. So stay tuned. You got Bill Carnes with Ed Winchester sitting here. Special guest Kelly Bashand on the line, live, coming to you right here on 2A Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Kelly, you still on the line with us?
Indeed, I am.
All right, great, man. Thanks. So I just want to give everybody kind of a perspective of things. The way that this whole thing goes is each episode was filmed over a 3-day period. We have one day where we do practice. The next day is when the challenge happens, and then whoever loses the challenge, which so far we've had a lot of red team experience in that. And then that afternoon, we go do the nomination range to decide who's going to be in the elimination match. And then on day three, the two involved in the elimination match practice in the morning, and then the elimination happens that afternoon. So it is back to back to back. There is no time off unless your team wins. And Blue Team had a lot of time off. As a matter of fact, we have a Blue Team member on the line, Blake, on line five. Blake, you there, brother? Blake, you there, man?
Bill, how you doing? Kenny, you on the show too? I'm over here on the phone right now. I'm trying to talk to everybody. I'm in the office. They got the off spilling out the golf right now. We're just trying to get on the little radio show. What's going on, man?
Oh, Blake, I love you.
Look, I'm going to talk to y'all about something. Now, I want to thank you, Bill, and the little Kelly boy. Y'all did a real good job making up on the show. The little Kelly boy, he might not be that smart talking about, you know, the ex-wives and all that. And you put a Smith & Wesson pistol in his hand, he can't hit a goddamn thing. But, you know, he can't shoot a rifle, and you got to respect him for that. And he's growing up, he's not smart. He don't even know how to eat protein or carbs. He was eating the sugar things in the house. He was hiding Snicker bars underneath my pillow and when I was going to sleep. And, you know, I forgave him for that. And I want to thank y'all for y'all making up on the show. Y'all some good people, man. And, you know, when y'all come down over here, we're going to cook some shrimps and some crawfish. And all y'all gonna come eat at my house? And they might have a little oil in the water now down here, but it's not no big deal. The water's muddy anyway. It's not Florida, you know?
I love you, Blake, man.
Oh, Blake.
Blake, what are you doing this weekend, dude? You told me something about you're gonna be hooking up with a couple of the other guys this weekend.
Well, this weekend, I'm actually going to Area 1 Championship. It's a USPSA match in Idaho. And, you know, the famous Mike Cicuano is going to be there, and the famous Brad Ingram, or however you say his name, I can't pronounce it myself. We're going to be shooting down there. We're going to be competing in a pistol competition to see who's the best pistol shooter.
That'll be fun, man. That'll be a lot of fun.
No historical rifles. Springfield 1913s aren't allowed in the match, so I think everybody will be okay. Brad even gets to bring his Glock 34, so...
That's what I was about to say. Something tells me that Brad's going to be bringing his Glock with him.
Yeah, but Brad really wasn't a big fan of that Beretta, man. It just, I don't know, I think it was something with the grip angle. He really didn't like it.
Yeah, you know, I had heard that. You know what, I got one of your team members on the line, Adam. Let's see if Adam's there. Adam, you on the line, dude?
Here. Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, dude. What's happening?
Who do we all have here?
Let's see, we got Blake, holy crap, a bunch of other guys have called. Let's see, we got Denny on the line, Pete's just called in, I don't know, Manny, can you hook them up?
I think it goes to show through it all, we developed some pretty good friendships that we're all calling in.
It really did. Yeah. As a matter of fact, you were saying something on, Adam, you were on the NRA radio show just a few days back, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and you had, what, I think it was Pete and Frank drove out to your house, and you guys all watched episode 3 together?
Yeah, we watched episode 3 together, and you know, Pete and Frank are a riot, and the kids all gathered around. They signed autographs, and the parents were all taking pictures of those guys signing autographs. So it was like paparazzi. It was a good special moment for these guys.
That's really cool. And, you know, I got to say, guys, kind of the reason we're getting everybody together is just so everybody understands that there was – an apology. There was a makeup actually with Kelly and I, and it was not showed on episode 3. And something that really kind of really cheesed me off a little bit when I watched this was at the end of the show when Brad beat me and I was walking up to the team to say their goodbyes. I went up to Kelly. I shook his hand, and Kelly, what happened when we shook hands?
Well, I handed you a note I had written. I had thought, well, you know, if this is the last time I'm going to see Bill, I really don't want to leave on a bad note. You know, I want to be able to run into Bill in the future on a shooting range and say, hey, what's up? You know, go have some dinner, have a good time. So I kind of prepared a note, and I figured if you won, I would just tell you in person later that night. But I handed you a note real sly, and they didn't even show us shaking hands. They edited it out. That was kind of tricky.
Yeah, they showed me dissing you, and I think I went straight to Andre. And then in the exit interview, they didn't show anything either. But if you go to historychannel.com, or history.com, and you look at it, you can see the exit interview, and it'll actually show me showing the note folded up the way you gave it to me. And do you have any trouble with me reading this note live on the air, Kelly?
I don't really remember what it says. but I don't think there's a problem. I mean, I can paraphrase and give a general idea instead, but...
It's your call, brother. I mean, I'll either read the note or you can paraphrase.
Better than reading it, why don't I can let listeners know the idea behind it.
Carry on.
Is that fine?
I'll read it.
So, living in a house with 15 of the most experienced marksmen in the country, you want to make friends. These are guys that you pretty much automatically should have camaraderie with. And there was very obviously a rift between Bill and I. I mean, you'd have to be blind not to see it. You know, I had a foot-and-mouth experience. We exchanged less than pleasantries. And, you know, we weren't really getting along. And I just didn't want to leave with an enemy. You know, I wanted to have friends. I wanted to be able to run into all these people again and just have a great time with them. Because it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience to be able to do this sort of thing, be in this kind of a competition with people. So I basically wrote Bill a note saying exactly that. And I kind of just said, you know, Bill, I didn't want to make enemies. I wanted to make friends, and I goofed up. You know, when this is all over, if you've cooled down, you want to give me a chance, you want to be friends, you know, shoot me an email, drop me a line. And lo and behold, I got home, and I had a very nice, pleasant email from Bill. And, you know, things are great. We talk. It's great. I plan on hanging out with you sometime if I'm in Vegas. You're welcome up here if you're ever in the Northwest. It'll be fine.
Yeah, actually, we've been chummy about this whole thing since you got back from production. Obviously, you got home after I did.
Yeah.
Because I was gone right then and there. And guys, just to understand the dates, this is actually, this note is dated March 22nd, 2010. And I think you wrote that either the night before or,
I would have written it the night before, yeah.
Okay, so then I was gone on the 23rd. I think we've got everybody online. Pete, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Denny, how about you, man?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Denny, all right, so we got a lot of the red team here.
Howdy.
Thanks for calling in, guys. I appreciate it. I just want everybody to call in so folks can get a bit of a perspective on this. I mean, it shows a whole lot more of the drama than it really does of the competition. And there's so many things that really were never shown, and I guess some of them for good reasons, because we did get out of hand here and there. But like the Blake, the whole ADL, nothing with the ADL.
Yeah. They didn't show me impersonating Kobe or what's his name, Craig.
Yeah,
I impersonated Kobe and what's his name, Craig. Well, actually, no, Andre impersonated Craig, and they had Brad and was it Caleb had a shoot off to see who would stay in the room with me and JJ. They never showed any of that. So I was kind of upset about that part, but hey, they only got so much airtime. So,
but they did show in the second episode when blue and red teams were introduced to the Beretta. There was a brief moment where he said blue team, red team, and you saw all eight of the blue team on signal put hands on hips and go into the Colby pose.
That was hilarious.
I remember the night before that. It was after the whole first season, first episode had been done. And then we're outside, and Blake is doing a show for everybody. He is doing the Colby impersonation like nothing else. So when we're on the practice range the next morning, getting ready to get it, they're explaining the whole Beretta so the teams can practice. I mean, everybody just busted up, and Colby's like, what's everybody laughing about?
I think he turned to the producer and he said, what's wrong with these people?
I think he said that a bunch, actually. That was crazy. And then... what was it? We said something like, oh, it's just getting a little bit small in the house already. They didn't show any of that. And then another thing. Now, Pete, you probably had a pretty good perspective on this because remember when we were doing the longbow challenge? What was it that Colby said to me on the range that did not get aired?
Colby said to you, like, okay, you were the clutch or whatever, right, they call it? And he came up
the
to
anchor.
Me and was like, now it's time to see whether Bill is a hero or a zero. And you were like, yeah, thanks, Colby. Your family's gonna be watching this, you know. And of course, I laughed and everything, but you know, obviously they didn't play that.
And you know, half of the people on both teams looked over and said something to Colby. As a matter of fact, I remember Pete, you said something about. I think you referred to him as some form of male genitalia. Actually,
yeah, I don't know what I'm going to say on the radio, but I said who brought the, and then it was a D word. You know, who brought the? You know what I mean?
And then so, that came to head actually at the elimination range again. You guys remember when? When Colby addressed me, and we actually had, what, probably a good 60-second interaction there dealing with that whole thing where he said the zero-to-hero thing, and we were talking back and forth, and absolutely none of that got shown.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and Adam didn't get to see that. We were back at the mansion eating steaks.
Actually, you know what you guys were eating? You were eating the salmon that the red team had prepared for dinner.
Right.
We get home and you ate our food.
That's well, look, it had a sign on it.
It didn't have a sign, Adam.
You know something funny that they didn't show? I don't know if you guys remember any of the red team, but when we first started the archery practice, anyone that's taking, you know, projectile physics knows there's two angles you can use to hit something, a low angle and a high angle. And they initially wanted us to use the high angle with the bow. And they wanted us shooting things at like an 80-degree angle for a 100-yard target. And I think if anyone remembers right, I launched the first arrow at like a 45-degree angle, and it just disappeared before we even saw it hit its apex.
Zach, like, hey, man, this ain't going to work. We got to do something different. He's like, well, I don't know. I got to call corporate.
Isn't that kind of a safety issue? You shoot the arrow straight up, it comes out and hits one of your team members? I mean, we don't know how to shoot arrows.
Well, actually, yeah. Kelly's arrow went so high and so far, we were joking about figuring that it was going to come back down with a bird attached to it.
It just disappeared. And then the guy, the expert, had me, he's like, all right, we'll just go a little higher. So I went a little higher, and we saw it go to its apex first. But it still went over that hill in the background. I'm talking probably 400-yard distance on the first couple arrows I shot.
Yeah, it was
pretty funky.
I don't think Blue Team experienced that because actually at that point in time, you remember the director, Zach, he actually got up there and he was kind of ticked because everybody was talking, we were trying to figure it out, and he got up there and he said, will everybody please just shut the something expletive up.
Yeah.
Remember that? The dog started to come out of Andre and he was about to pounce, man. I remember he was looking at Zach, and he said this nice, soft, and Andre has this Clint Eastwood era about him, right? And he says, don't look at me with those tough guy eyes, man. I'll pounce.
happens, like, it's in the Marines, you know, you'll, like, if you hear one NCO yelling or something like that, every other NCO, you know, corporal, sergeant, they all run. It's like, you'd smell it. It's like blood to a shark. The one guy's getting chewed out. Everybody just loves to shoot somebody, so they all run. So I just see Andre getting all, like, whatever, and I start getting, like, you know, instantly, I was just like, what? You know, and he kind of, like, you know, with this little guy, this little producer guy, was, like, going up to Andre. I'm like, oh, yeah, right, this ain't going to work out.
And you know, because of all of that, that was the only night we ever had any kind of entertainment. That's where Zach, through the kindness of his heart and realizing... All right, yeah, you guys are, because people don't realize we had no television, no computers, no cell phones, no internet. We had no access to the outside world. As a matter of fact, no music, no nothing. We didn't even have reading material. And when I ended up leaving the show, as it turns out, I found out on the way back, we had the radio on, that the whole healthcare bill had passed a couple days before that. So, that night was when Zach sent over a flat screen TV and a DVD player, and we watched, what was it? I think The Hangover.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
That was very cool of him. But however, had he and Andre not had it out, I mean, we can thank Andre for that one, because otherwise I think we would have been sitting there playing more solitaire, Pete.
Yeah.
No, you know, Bill, you said there was no music in the house, but, you know, a lot of times late at night I'd hear Frank singing to Kelly.
Frank was sweet on Kelly. That was so funny, man.
Frank was
sweet on Kelly, man.
You know what they didn't show? Another thing they didn't show as people left, which I thought was unfortunate. When Frank was leaving, he was shaking our hands, and then when it panned to Frank and I, it just showed me cracking up laughing, which was a little out of place because they didn't show what happened a few seconds prior when Frank gave me a kiss on the cheek.
hey, how that note that Frank left?
His goodbye letter.
Huh? Yeah. Oh, you know what? You should have Brad call in and read that in Frank's voice.
Oh, that'd be perfect. You'd have to bleep it, though, Bill.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's funny because Brad did the best Frank impression. You know, Brad was, after episode 2, the most hated man on Top Shot. I certainly took that over because basically when this whole thing went down between Kelly and I, our whole lives were this show and this competition. And, you know, I didn't really want to deal with the whole everything with Kelly. I was, when they showed me sitting there with Adam and Chris, and that was when they had like the 6 or 7 bleeps in one sentence there. This was probably about 20 or 25 minutes after the incident in the van, and I was just hot. After that, I didn't want to deal with it. I just wanted to concentrate on the competition and what we needed to do. And I really didn't want to have to deal with any sort of a drama or anything such as that. And so they just made it look like I was an impersonal, total jackass. And I just didn't want to deal with it. And then, you know, afterwards, when Kelly handed me his note, I actually read it the next morning because I left late one afternoon and I had a, you know, everything in the world to get to. And then I realized from there, you know what? This is a good deal. Kelly's a good man. And Kelly, I have to tell you, I want to tell you right now with everybody on the line, everybody else listening, I owe you an apology for having been so wrapped up in the competition myself that I forgot that people are a lot more important than the stupid competition.
Hey, Bill.
And I owe that to you.
Thank you.
Bill, would that mean you also owe the armors apology and Colby? Because Kelly wasn't the only blow-up.
I don't owe that armor any apology because he was going after a rifle when Mike Sieglander was 75 yards downrange, when he was going to grab a rifle that was grounded, pointed at
Mike. It's only Mike Sieglander.
How many yards? 75? You could have hit him?
There you go, Pete.
Hey, Bill.
All right, guys. Yeah, go ahead.
Bill, it's Denny here. Hey, just something for your listeners, and I know you guys know this, but all the listeners should know, on TV shows like this, it took 3 days of taping for a one-hour episode. So they crunched this stuff down to just the meatiest, juiciest stuff, you know, they could find. I know you guys know that, but everybody else needs to know that, too.
That's it. All right, guys, everybody stay on the line. We're headed into break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. This is Bill Carnes with half the cast of Top Shot right here on 2A Radio.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
All right, guys, welcome back. Welcome back. We got Kelly, Pete, Adam, Blake, and Denny all on the line from Top Shot. Guys, everybody back?
Yeah.
All right. Ed Winchester, my co-host for the day. He had to roll out of here. He's got a little bit of work to do today. So we're back with the Top Shot, guys. Guys, I got to tell you, this was a lot of fun, this whole experience. I mean, this the whole Top Shot thing for me was a lot of fun.
Agreed.
Yeah, we had a blast. Yeah, well, I think Brad either.
I think Brad
somehow
is happy.
In the same room as him.
I think
somehow
Brad is
Bill
happy
got off easy because Brad became the most hated man in America.
Yeah. That's why I think he was happy when episode 3 came out because I took over those reins.
Hey, Bill, that was nice you would take a little pressure off him there, bud.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a team player, even though it looked like I wasn't. It's like, hey, you sacrificed the team by being an ass to Kelly. It's like, hey, I want to take the pressure off of Brad. I mean, that's a team player.
plus,
he looked like the hero because he beat me in the challenge.
Brad's the only guy that can really take a joke very well. I mean, me and JJ and everybody else in the house, we played jokes on him the whole time, and he just took it with a grain of salt, and I got to commend him for that.
I said he was anal, I said I was going to strangle him, and that he was a D-bag on national television. I mean, I still talk to him a lot on the phone, so.
But he's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, how about the prank? How about the Pete JJ prank?
Oh, my God.
Gosh, I wish they would have showed that.
I know.
That was crazy. That's where they put Pete up to put in, what did you put on JJ's pajamas and go to sleep on his floor? So when he woke up, he freaked out.
And I said the backdrop saying that Pete, I told JJ that Pete come tell me that he had a dream that he had killed JJ in his dream and that Pete was having a mental breakdown on the show.
That he was Muslim.
Yeah, PTSD. That's right. And who was it who was supposed to be Muslim? We got out of control, guys. The whole practical joke thing. I mean, with lack of external stimuli, we were out of control, man. It was nuts.
Right, they had
Guys, I appreciate everybody calling in, man. It was a lot of fun catching up with some of you. I've been in contact with just about everybody at one time or another, but it was neat to hear everybody's voices. And I appreciate you taking time out of your day to call up and kind of do this reunion thing, and where Kelly and I, people can understand where Kelly and I really stand, because everything happened months ago, and we made up months ago. So I really appreciate you guys taking time out of your day to call in.
Good show, Bill.
At some point, we're having some friends.
Hey, Bill, I'm keep fighting for our Second Amendment, man.
I'll do it, man. I really will. As a matter of fact, you guys can stay online and hear my normal sign-off here, which I'm going to get to right now. To those of you within our government, we will be watching you, and Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to protect our rights, liberty, and justice. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. I want to thank all of you guys for calling in. I really appreciate it. And folks listening to RBN, stay tuned. The Control Factor is coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will Your Freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday. I will not break. I will show.